Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Hello, everybody. My name is Pastor Jim Cruz, and I've come to you all the way from Thousand Oaks, California. So I'm one of the pastors here. This is always home for me, born and raised in Bakersfield, and I am related to Pastor Ron. I married his beautiful daughter, Tara, and we've been married for 32 years now. Can you believe that? Some of you got to see Tara and I as young adults in this church, and can you believe it that I'm a grandpa? Can you guys believe that? I can't believe it. I'm not a grandpa. I'm Pop-Pop. Yeah, I'm Pop-Pop, and Tara is Gigi, and we are the proud grandparents of baby Jack James Boston. He's a month old now, and so I just have to tell you guys that for a little context, and that means that Pastor Ron's a great grandpa. Isn't that crazy? So it's awesome. Legacy, right? Legacy. I came to you guys, I think about a month or so ago. I know Pastor Ron's been doing some great teaching with you, and we're just going to pause and take a break, and I like to come up here and be with you guys as my family and just talk through some things that we've been talking through in Thousand Oaks. And one of the defining kind of subjects that have really helped transform my life is the idea of my thought life. And I don't know how many of you struggle in this room or maybe online with your thought life, but do you know the average person entertains 40,000 negative thoughts a day? Isn't that crazy? The average American is averaging 40,000 negative thoughts. And we have to talk about this because the Bible tells us explicitly that transformation happens by the renewing of our what? Of our minds. And before I pray, let me just, if you can just put that scripture up there, Romans chapter 12. This screen is so awesome. So good. Do not conform to the what, church? Pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing can also be translated renovating. So there's a renovation. That means the old is replaced by something new. How many of you have ever renovated a house before? Just give me a wave. Wave at me. Yeah. You know, before it gets better, it gets worse, doesn't it? You know, because one of the most fun days of a renovation is demo day. And so you get rid of the old and you replace it by something new. So there's a renewing or a renovating of their mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, some of you desperately want to live out God's will for your life, but it's going to be impossible for you to even know what God's will is unless you first renew your mind. Because God has a new way for you to think your thoughts. And so I'm going to pray. We're going to jump in to this mind wars conversation. Lord, I thank you, God, for my family here in Bakersfield. I thank you, God, for everybody that is watching online tonight. We are so grateful, God, that you've brought us all together. And God, we pray in this time tonight that, God, you would give us divine, heavenly revelation. Lord, that we would leave this place knowing, God, that you met us in the middle of our mess and you healed us, you gave us breakthrough, you spoke to our hearts, and you changed our lives. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so as we think about living a different kind of life, I want you to know your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So the more you think a certain way, the higher likely it is that you're going to live that certain way. And so as you start thinking your thoughts about a certain thing, your actions, your body, everything in you is going to start moving in that direction. And tonight, as we talk about this subject, I want to bring up something in psychology that is called a cognitive bias, and it's something all of us have. And let me give you the definition that most of these experts go by. It is a systematic thought process caused by the tendency of the human brain to simplify information processing through a filter of personal experience and preferences. And we all have this. It's all activated inside of our minds. You have a mental bias, and it's based upon things that you've had happen to your life. If you, you know, as a child were traumatized, that trauma that you went through as a child is affecting everything about your life, including your thought life and how you think about every situation that you go through. And it's not just your personal experiences, your preferences. And, you know, as we enter into a political year, right, some of those preferences come out. And honestly, the bias is how one person can give a speech and two people can come away from that political speech feeling a certain way, all because they all had a cognitive bias walking in there. Let me give you another example. Let's say you're walking down the street, you and another person, and you're walking down the street and there is a homeless dog that's sitting there. Now, a cognitive bias is gonna have these two people respond differently to the same dog. Now, there's gonna be some of you in this room, if you see the homeless dog, you're gonna be like, ooh, get back, and I don't know, like, where's that dog been? What kind of diseases are on it? You know, is it gonna bite me? And you're gonna have all of these feels of like, you know, stay away. But some of you, when you see the homeless dog, you're gonna be like, oh, baby, oh, let me take you home. Let me take you home, oh, you're so sad. How many dog people do I have in here? There's gonna be some of you, you don't care. I mean, this is just a creature that needs to be rescued. You know, who saved who? You know, it's just like this idea of like, I love animals. And so that's how it works. Like our brains are pre-wired with these biases, and we respond in certain situations differently from another person because we have different personal experiences and different personal preferences. Are you tracking with me? So as we think about this, I'm going to jump us in to what I feel is necessary for us to talk about, and that is the idea of how we filter all of our thoughts through what I believe is this default filter, this bias that we have in place. And I believe that tonight God wants to install some new filters in your mind, because some of you, if you're really honest with yourself, you are plagued by stinking thinking. And I believe that God is going to transform your life by renewing your mind. And we're going to give you some practical tools in order to get you to that place of a changed life by figuring out how to change the way that you think. Now, as we're talking through this concept, we know that filters play a vital role in how we see a picture, right? Some of you, you use Instagram a lot, and Instagram has all kinds of fun filters that you can put on your pictures and make a picture look something completely different. Now, I don't know, guys in the back, I didn't go over this with you. Can you put up the one picture, the normal picture of my wife and I, if you got that? I don't know what is happening on the screen right there, but maybe the screen just went off. Anyway, I'll get them to fix that. But as you can imagine, there it is. All right, okay. So this is Tara and I on a hike, and we paused for a selfie. Now, this picture was in a group text. How many of you that have a family have like a family group text that you guys all, how many families do that? Wave at me. Are we like weird by doing that? Okay. So we send this to the group chat for our family, and then our soon-to-be daughter-in-law, that's marrying Josiah in June, she decides to put some filters on the same picture, and if you guys can go to the next one that has both of them. I don't know what is going on, but there's a lot of stuff in this. Like, I go, what happened to Tara's hair? What is she wearing? Am I drinking a beer? What, where... Is that my hair? Is that a hat? And I show you that picture because filters matter. Filters change how we see things. And so because of this cognitive bias that we're walking around, we're seeing things potentially incorrectly. And I believe that if we're going to live that transformed life, we've got to address this idea. It's not the facts that could be different. It's the filter of how we're looking at certain things. That's why, like, two people can go into a job review and, you know, get basically the same performance review. And one guy can come out of the room just feeling like, you know, this boss got on to me and how dare he, doesn't he know how much I put in this company and how dare he get on to me? I'm like the best guy and they're lucky to have me. And then the next guy with the same job performance review, he comes out going, man, I'm so grateful that this boss took the time to help me improve in my job performance and I can get better, I can grow from this. And it's like, well, what is the difference there? The facts are the same. It's the filter that is different. And so if we're really honest with ourselves tonight, some of us, we're processing information through this really broken filter that can get us in all kinds of trouble. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you anticipate a difficult conversation with somebody? And before you even get to be in person with this person that you're about ready to have a difficult conversation with, in your mind, you've already been talking through this. And because you have this filter in you, you've processed this information from this negative thing to where it is possible, how many have ever done this? It is possible to get to the place where you have to have this difficult conversation and you're already mad at the person and they haven't even said a word to you. I've done that, I've been there. And then, you know, you just show up to the meeting and this person just starts like raging on you. You're like, whoa, 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 where is this even coming from? And it's because we have these broken filters and we're processing all of our thoughts through these. And so what I believe we need is a good refiltering process to refilter some of these thoughts. I was thinking the other day of this idea, and I brought this picture because I think this is a good word picture for a lot of you that are here, because in this image we see something beautiful and then something very dark. And what I've discovered is that the filter is really kind of how you frame certain things. It's really how you frame it. So when you start thinking through a situation, if you come over here and you start framing the situation in this corner, And this could be, you know, somebody that is over here just go, oh man, this is terrible. This is a person, I mean, when you wake up, right? Have you ever woken up tired and just like, man, I already hate this day and I haven't even got out of bed yet. So this is kind of the attitude. It's like, oh man, I don't want to get up early. Man, I got to go into, you know, this meeting today and I got to, you know, talk to my coworker I'm mad at or my jerk-faced boss that doesn't, you know, appreciate me and I'm underpaid for this. And then you get on the 58 or the 99, you're like, man, there's still construction. By the way, what is up with this town now? There's always road construction. All right. And then you're going there, you're just like, man, I hate the traffic and this guy just is not driving right. And it's just all negative, 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 negative. Now, let's come over here. Let's say this person is over here and they wake up and they're like, man, it's a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Everything is awesome. Now, this person, their spirit animal is Tigger. I mean, they are pumped. And, you know, they're going through their day and they're just like, wow, man, I can't believe I have a job. You know, I have this amazing car that is getting me to work. And instead of getting mad at people on the freeway, they're like, Lord, thank you for slowing me down. I just need some more time to reflect on your glory in my life. And you're slowing me down so I could pray blessings over all of these people that are in traffic with me. Lord, I pray blessing over that guy that just cut me off. You had him cut me off on purpose so I could pray a blessing over his life. Same day, different frame. Now, what do you think this guy's day is going to be like? It's good. You think his thought process is going to affect how the outcome of his day goes? Absolutely. What do you think the outcome of this guy's day is going to be? It's all how you frame it. Look at your neighbor and say, it's all how you frame it. And what Scripture teaches us through all kinds of examples is that it's not what happens to you, it's really about how you frame it. Because all of us are going to have some messy stuff happen to our lives. But really, the outcome of whatever we go through is going to be determined by how we frame it. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you frame it. Reframing is this really new idea within psychology, but really, I love it when science actually catches up with what Scripture has been telling us for thousands of years. So this is just a new concept. It's creating a different way of looking at a situation or relationship by changing its meaning. So let me give you an example from Scripture. If you have your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter 1. And in this context, by the way, the book of Philippians is a great book of the Bible. And what makes Philippians so great is it's also known as the book of joy. Because joy is featured so many times in this little book. But what makes this little book of joy extra special is knowing the context of when or where it was written at. So Paul, the apostle, was writing this letter about joy while he was incarcerated. He was in jail. He was in prison. And he was awaiting his sentence. He didn't know what the outcome was going to be with his incarceration. He didn't know if he was going to be executed. He didn't know if he was going to be there for years. He didn't know. All he knew is I was in chains. I was in prison. And so I've got to do something with this time. And so he writes this letter to the Philippian church. And man, there's some amazing text in here. Let me just read. They'll put it up on the screen. But it says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Now just pause there. Remember, we just talked about reframing. So he's in prison, and now he's saying being in prison is actually a good thing because it's advancing the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. So how they would imprison guys would be to strap a guard to them. So they would be chained to a guard and they would have to sit there with the guard doing whatever they were doing. So 8-hour shifts, okay, imagine. So within 24 hours, Paul's like, man, I just got to preach 3 8-hour sermons, right, to 3 different guards. And maybe he slept a little bit in those times, but to the point of, like, God is bringing me ministry, and he's chaining this dude up to where he can't go anywhere. He's got to listen to me. And I get to speak the gospel to an audience that can't run away. I just love his attitude. And he says, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. So Paul's saying, my chains have actually encouraged other brothers and sisters in Christ to be more bold with their faith. So he's looking at his chains not as a bad thing. He's looking at his chains as a good thing. Now, The prison cell is the prison cell. But what the difference was his mindset. As he reframed it. He said, this is actually something that God is using for his glory. Now the problem, I wrote this down, the problem is not the problem. The problem is how you look at your problem. Let me say that one more time. The problem is not the problem. The problem is how you look at your problem. Now what we have to do is we have to go to James chapter 1 because this is a good scripture. Some of you, this needs to be your screensaver, all right? James chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, the last time you dealt with a major problem, did you just like stop and go, man, this is an opportunity for great joy? Probably none of you in this room did that. But this is James encouraging us, saying, guys, you got to see the bigger picture of what's going on here. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to do what? To grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Like, this is good. So Paul's saying, or James is saying here, he's saying like, hey, when trouble comes your way, consider it great joy because God is going to use that trouble to grow you into somebody that is going to be unstoppable for God. I mean, that is a whole reframing. Are you catching this? But this is something we all need to hear because as we come into our faith in Christ and we bring all of our cognitive bias, we bring all of our stinking thinking, and we're like, man, where is God in all of this? And God is saying, I'm right here. But in order for you to really recognize me, you have to allow me to renew your mind. Because your mind is messed up right now. It's caught up in all these broken filters that are making it very, very, very difficult to see me in your situation. So now what do we do? Now that we've identified, okay, we got a broken filter, let's get some filter upgrades. Let's install some new filters for our minds. So as our minds go to war, you are going to win the war of your mind. Do you want to win the war in your mind? Because let me tell you, there's a lot of warfare going on around your life. But the biggest one that affects your life is the one going on between your ears. You know that. That's the one that we're talking about tonight. So let's go over four filters that I have found to be so transformative for my own life. And the first filter, write this down. I call it the eternity filter. Write that down, the eternity filter. And this is a filter that basically, as you have a thought, you're running it through the eternity filter, meaning that there is a grander, greater purpose happening in your life that goes way beyond your life right now. In other words, this is calling us to zoom out from our little tiny lives to go to like a 30,000 foot elevation and zoom out and see a bigger picture of what is happening. There is a heavenly call and purpose on your life. And if you don't see it, when you get wrapped up into a problem, if you get wrapped up into some negative thinking, and your world is just really you, and we are living in the most self-absorbed era of our country's history. Like, we're all about the I. We are the I generation. And we live for all of our comforts. We live for what everybody else can do to help me and serve me. And that when you are so wrapped up in yourself, it makes for a very small world. And see, the smaller your world, listen to me, church, lean into this. The smaller your world, the bigger your problems. The bigger your world, the smaller your problems. How do you expand your world? You have an eternity mindset. That means that you set your minds on the things above, not on the things on earth. Because as you set your mind on the things above, you're zooming out and you're seeing heaven involved in every situation that you're going through. There's an end to the means, right? There's something that is at the end, and that you're living not for the right now. You're living for the eternal perspective that one day you're going to be standing before God to give an account for what you did with your life. And you want to hear the words that I want to hear, and that is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. Live for the well done, church. And there is a call of God on this eternity filter to say, hey, no. That issue right there, how does that play into the bigger picture of heaven moving in your life, in your family's life, in the life of the people that are around you? And I have found that when I'm living for God's purposes instead of my purposes, man, my problems get minimized so much. It doesn't mean the problems go away, but all of a sudden they're kind of manageable. And there's some of you in here, I mean, you are a professional person making, you know, mountains out of molehills, so to speak. You are really good at blowing up a little situation to becoming like Mount Everest. And it all involves you having such a small world and such a small perspective. It's time to zoom out. Look at your neighbor, say, it's time to zoom out. That's the eternity filter. That's important. Now, here's the second one. I call it the faith filter. The faith filter. And having a faith filter means that there is a trust that you have in God that no matter what is happening, that God is going to be able to get you through it. And if he leads you to it, he'll get you through it. Have you heard that before? But there is this phenomenon that happens in all of our brains called the what-if thought bubble. How many wrestle with the what-if thought bubble? You know, what if this pain in my side is a serious medical complication? I know what I'll do. I'll Google my symptoms. Don't do that. What if she leaves me? What if I lose my job? What if this, you know, we don't have the money to pay rent this month? How many of you have been plagued with some what ifs lately? They're out there. Some of us, if we're really honest, we don't just what if, we are professional what ifers. I mean, you are what ifing it all day long, and your body is exhausted by the end of the day, not because of what has happened to you, but all the possibilities of what could happen to you. And it just has worn you out. God doesn't want you living in a perpetual what if thought bubble. But I believe the faith factor flips the what ifs in our life. I believe when God gets involved with our situations and we come into that situation with faith that he is involved, we flip the what if. And let me give you an example. What if I step out and I fail? That is a what if that a lot of us deal with. Let's add some faith to that what if, and it flips it over and it says, what if I step out and see God do something extraordinary? Do you see what the what if has done? It's flipped. It's not about if I fail. It's like, what if a miracle happens out of this? Here's another one. What if I don't have what it takes to be the godly person that I feel like I need to become, or that God wants me to become? That's a what if that some of you in this room, if you're honest, you struggle with that. God wants to take that what if and he wants to flip it. What if God wants to use my weakness to show how powerful he is? Have you ever thought about that? That we're all a work in progress. None of us have arrived yet. What if it's never going to happen? How many have ever had that what if bubble? What if this dream in my heart, what if this vision in my mind, what if it never happens? What if this promise never comes true? Let's flip that what if. What if this delay is on purpose because God needs to do something supernaturally in me in order to get me ready for the promise when it shows up? See, I want to give somebody a word tonight. God's delay is not a denial. God knows things about us that if we were to actually have that thing come into our life right now, we're not prepared for it. And this gift that God wants to bring in your life, why would God bring you a gift that you're not ready for, that you're not going to take care of, you're not going to cultivate? Single people, listen to me. There's a reason maybe why that person has not been brought into your life. You've been praying for them. They're not there. You're like, God, why? I don't like my singleness. And the answer is possibly you're not ready for him. You're not ready for her. Why would God bring somebody into your life right now when he's still working on you? He's still working a lot of that dysfunctionalism out of you. And if that person were to come, you might actually spread the dysfunction to them. So you got to kind of work on you, and God said, I'm not bringing them until you are ready for them. I don't know who that word is for tonight, but don't interpret God's delay as God's denial. Who needs to hear that tonight? You guys are quiet on me. I don't know. But I believe that's a heavenly revelation for a lot of us, whether it's a person, whether it's a job, whether it's an advancement, whether it's a move. And some of us are just believing that God is sending us somewhere, and God's like, not yet. It's the right idea, but the wrong timing. What if I lose my job? Here's a way to turn that what if around. What if this job is going to go away, but that job going away is actually going to help me find the job that God wants me to be at? So what if losing this job actually becomes the best thing that could ever happen for my life? Because then I will be led to the job that God wants me at, and more importantly, I want to be at. What if this setback messes me up for the rest of my life? Let's flip that what if around. What if the setback is actually set up for my comeback? I mean, you think about that, church. Things happen sometimes that are not your fault. It's not God's fault. It's because you live in a broken world. But the faith factor, when it comes in, that faith filter, when it comes in, it allows you to see that whole problem from a different perspective. Are you tracking with me? Let me give you one more. What if this doesn't work out? What if this whole thing doesn't work? And my way of re-looking at that and reframing that is flipping that what if to, what if God is closing this door because he has a better door for me to walk through? That's a different kind of what if, isn't it? Because how many of you have ever been frustrated that you just knew that you knew that you knew that you were supposed to go this direction and it was a closed door? And you're just like, what if it's never going to happen? Can I tell you a testimony that happened to us as we planted this new church in Thousand Oaks about 6 years ago? We were told that the best place to launch a church would be a school. And so we went down to Thousand Oaks with high aspirations to go into a school, and then we just thought the school was going to welcome us with open arms. And we go to 3 different schools, you guys, and all the schools said no. And I mean, I took a tour of the campuses, and some of these schools, they were terrible, to be honest with you. I mean, they still had the original chairs that came with the new school back in 1964. They were still using them. I was like, man, students are going to get hurt on these chairs. But I was like, okay. So I was getting so discouraged. You can imagine, by the 3rd school to tell me no, and we were, you know, leading the Vegas church and coming to Thousand Oaks, and so one of the principals did some investigating on our church, and she actually went to our website, and she saw that our Vegas church has a ministry called Hookers for Jesus, and so the principal met with me, and she said, hey, as I researched your church in Vegas, I saw that you have a ministry called Hookers for Jesus. And I said, actually, we do. It's a pretty awesome ministry. And she goes, I'm sure it is. But she goes, I'm going to have a parent at my doorstep and telling me, well, how did you let this church in that has Hookers for Jesus? And so she gave me a hard no. And I was like, ah. But I understood that one. That was fair. So I was telling Tara, I was like, man, babe, this is like, I know that God had us go to Thousand Oaks. And I can't believe that, you know, all these schools are telling us no. And then the next Thursday, we had a Bible study at a hotel. and a lady comes up to us and says, hey, have you thought about the golf course? Because I know they have a ballroom. And I said, what golf course? She goes, on the other side of the freeway. I go, I didn't even know there was a golf course over there. So the very next day, I go to the golf course. I talk to the events coordinator. I said, hey, you guys have a ballroom. Would you guys by chance like be open to having a church here on Sunday morning? She said, we would love to have a church. That's the only day we never rent the ballroom out. And this would be a great place for a church. And you guys, this was looking out on the 18th hole of this beautiful golf course for like hardly any money at all. And they welcomed us with open arms. And then we got to the golf course. Like we started the church at a golf course. 18 months later, this thing happened. You might have heard of it called the pandemic. It's called COVID. Have you heard of that? So it shut all the churches down, and it just so happens that the same golf course that we were meeting at a ballroom had a built-in amphitheater, an outdoor amphitheater. So they called me and said, hey, you know, we know churches are able to meet again, so we want to offer you this beautiful amphitheater that we typically have weddings, but all the weddings are canceled for the next year and a half, so we would love to have a church outside in the amphitheater. I go, oh my goodness. Like, how many golf courses in America have a built-in outdoor amphitheater attached to it? So we just pivoted and went outside. We tripled in size in COVID because we were one of the only churches in the area that was meeting a person safely. And so I'm reviewing everything, you guys. I'm reviewing everything. I go back to the moment where I was so frustrated, going, man, God, I know you called us to go here, but why isn't anything working out? And then it dawned on me. Those no's, those closed doors were actually the most beautiful gift God could have ever given us. Because those no's and those closed doors got us to God's yes, to God's open door. That was so much better than any door that I would have ever walked through. Come on, somebody. Don't be discouraged by a no, because that no is getting you closer to God's yes. That's what I say. That's all about the faith filter. Let's go to the third one, because I'm looking at time. Let's go to the third one. I call it the goodness filter. The goodness filter. You know, Psalm 23, the most popular psalm in our Bibles out of the 150 psalms. And it says at the end, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you really believe God's goodness is chasing after you? You have to ask that question to yourself. Because if you do, if you really believe that God's goodness, because you're his son, you're his daughter, that God's goodness is chasing after you, then everything you go through, my friend, there's going to be goodness that finds you. And if it's not good yet, God's not done yet. Can I say that one more time? If it's not good yet, God's not done yet. You just hold on. Because God's goodness is chasing your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. You'll find this at every Hobby Lobby in America right here. Because it's so good. And we know that for those who love God, all things, how much? How many things? All things work together for what, church? For good. For those who are called according to his purpose. All things are working together for good, because his goodness follows his sons and his daughters. So if it's not good yet, God's not done yet. And you have to install this goodness filter, saying whatever's happening, I know the goodness of God is going to hit this situation at some point, at some time, in some way. Here's the fourth one, and we call this simply the Thanksgiving filter. The Thanksgiving filter. Now, when you have an attitude of gratitude, man, it is so, so life-changing. When you just stop and you just start thanking God for all that you have and all that's right, because so much of the negative thoughts that were the 40,000 negative thoughts you have, most of those negative thoughts are caught up in what you don't have and all the things that are wrong. And I know there are things in your life that you don't have. I know that there are things in your life that are wrong. I know that because there are things I don't have, and there are things that are wrong in my life. But here's the good news. There's also a lot of things that are right in my life, and there's also a lot of things that I have in my life. And so if I start thanking God and I start praising God for the things that I have and the things that are right, you can imagine how it's going to reframe everything that is happening in my life. This is a passion of mine, that if you just simply take 5 minutes before you go to sleep and you start writing in a gratitude journal and start thanking God in 5 minutes, just in a journal, 5 minutes, you know, science has now proven that you will sleep better. Some of you are battling insomnia because of your stinking thinking. You're going to bed with all of this frustration. If you go to God with praise instead of going to bed with pity, you're going to sleep better at night. And you're gonna have a victory in the war that is happening between your ears. Here's another thing to thank God for. Let's thank God for all the things that haven't happened against our lives. How many of you are convinced if Jesus had not met you when he met you, you would not be alive today? How many are convinced of it? You're like, no, there's no way. I mean, I already got out of a lot of different crazy things. I am just grateful to be alive. But I know that if Jesus had not met me when he met me, and if I would have not surrendered my life to him when I surrendered my life to him, I would not be alive today. When is the last time you thank God for the things that haven't happened against your life because you know that God is moving in your life? This is what I mean, church, by saying it's the Thanksgiving filter. So think about that, the eternity filter, the faith filter, the goodness filter, the Thanksgiving filter. Do you see how when these filters come in to your mind and you start actually activating these practices, how it's going to elevate you, not just as a person, but it's going to elevate you as a follower of Jesus. And what's going to happen is you are going to have a transformed life because you are going to have a mind that has been renewed because it's been reframed because God has done a great work in you. Amen. So let me pray for us. Father, would you stand your feet, everyone? Can, if you're able to, just stand your feet. Lord, we're standing before you, oh God. Maybe just put your hands on your heads representing your brain. Just touch your own heads. Father, we pray tonight for renewed minds. I just sense in this room that there's somebody in here that has experienced something super traumatic, and their mind is really, really broken because of it. Lord, as we pray tonight, God, I pray for a healing of heaven, God. We need your supernatural movement of heaven to heal this brother, this sister that has went through so much, God. And I know, Lord, that with you all things are possible. So that wound, that hurt, that trauma, God, I know it can be healed, Lord. Father, as we lay hands, God, on our minds, Lord, we pray that you would help us install the helmet of salvation. That, Lord, you would help us, God, with all of the things that are just happening between our ears, God, that Lord, you would help us to have that eternity filter, seeing things from your perspective, God, to have that faith filter, God, knowing that, Lord, when you get involved, Lord, you turn things around. Lord, to have that goodness filter, God, knowing that, Lord, goodness is chasing us as your son, as your daughter. And Lord, that Thanksgiving filter, Lord. And while we're just laying hands on our brain, just right now, thank God for something that is right in your life. Just audibly just thank God right now. Say, God, I'm so grateful for this thing that is right in my life right now. I'm so grateful for my marriage. I'm so grateful for my health. I'm so grateful for the provision, for the food on the table. Lord, we lift up our minds to you, God, and we know that, Lord, as long as we trust you and as long as we give our lives to you, God, the renewing, the renovating is going to happen. because you now get the final word in our life. We give you our minds, God, so that ultimately we can live the changed, transformed life that you have for us. And while everyone is praying, if you're here tonight and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus, you haven't made that decision to give your life to God, then as we end tonight, I'm just gonna invite you to come up front and just pray with one of our prayer team members and say, man, this message had my name all over it. And come up here and one of our prayer members are just gonna be able to pray for you and just walk you through what it means to follow Jesus. So with that in mind, Father, I just pray, God, that we leave this place covered by your goodness, covered by your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is